The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Follow Justin's 90-day transformation from pudgy to ripped right here each week on Mind Pump. To get Justin's exact phased workout and diet plan, go to mindpumpradio.com and click the big yellow button at the top of the page.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, welcome to Mind Pump. We put the sex in sexual harassment.
We put the pump.
What?
Sex and sexual harassment.
I'm here with Adam Schaefer and Justin Andrews, and this is Sal DiStefano speaking. I want to talk about, now, this is a serious, I know I started that off kind of ridiculous, but this is a serious subject. This is actually one that touches home for me.
You can't really do that.
What?
You start off with sexual harassment.
Sexual harassment. We're going to get serious now.
No.
Why are you trying to say sexual harassment is not serious?
No, it is serious.
That's a serious subject.
It is a good transition.
Yeah, listen, I've been meaning to tell you. You know when you talk and you always put your hand on my thigh when you talk? Like you're trying to make it more.
That makes you feel awkward?
They play that states
no,
game,
no, no,
right?
No, it doesn't make
what
me
state feel, am I thinking of?
It doesn't make me feel awkward. If you did it to other people, potentially it could be sexual harassment.
Well, what was I supposed to think? You've been rubbing my feet underneath the table this whole time that we've been talking. That's what I thought you were asking
for. Dude, you girls.
See, this is the shit. You're just like a woman. They send the wrong signals. You look me right in the eyes. You touch my feet. Oh, and this, you know, and then I grab your thigh, and all of a sudden you're going to scream sexual harassment.
We need to stop joking around because Justin's getting jealous.
I am. You guys don't touch me.
So let's talk after your 12-week transformation.
Too fluffy.
That's horrible. I like them thick.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about this. Is a serious subject now for reals because this is something that touches home for me, and I would venture to say that the vast majority of people in the fitness industry, especially the people that are in the cosmetic fitness industry, the ones that present their physiques on stage, whether it be a bikini model or a physique competitor, bodybuilder, I'd say a good percentage of us probably continue to suffer from some kind of body image issue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, speaking from personal experience, I'll tell you what, I grew up and I was very, very, very skinny. I was painfully skinny. And this is what got me into working out. But it was really, you know, it wasn't, I know some guys work out to impress women, this and that. I just felt, you know, I felt like I needed to, I don't know, I just didn't feel, I needed to get bigger. I needed to build more muscle.
Feel manly?
Maybe not manly enough, you know? And I did a lot of stupid things with my diet and my training as a result of that. And it wasn't up until relatively recently that I kind of reconciled, you know, that it was an issue. It was a little bit of a body image issue. I mean, I don't know. Can you guys relate to any?
No, that's
definitely.
This is very close to home for me. Like yourself, most all of my life, I was teased for being skinny.
Yeah, so you see me too.
Yeah, I was the skinny kid, all kinds of great nicknames that we could go through all day about. But, excuse me, I dealt with that for a very long time. I mean, shit, all the way into my 20s too. I mean, I've struggled putting weight on for a very, very long time. And I would attribute that same feeling to, you know, just wanting to be more masculine, more manly. You know, I felt like a boy, a little boy, mm-hmm. you know, being skinny. And I always had a young looking face too. So I've always had a baby face and then being a real skinny guy and not feeling very big and manly. Mm-hmm. And like yourself, I don't think I really broke through that completely until I got in this competing and which sounds weird because you would think, oh, that would cause more or be worse. But the issue that I had is up until I competed, I've never really went on a true like cut or like really.
You were scared of losing size.
Yeah. I was so scared of losing muscle that I would never purposely try and eat in a deficit mm-hmm. ever. I mean, I was always living in a surplus or trying to live in a surplus. I was always the guy who could never eat enough, who could just struggle. I was a breakfast skipper in the morning and, you know, my first meal wasn't until noon or one. And then by that time I was always under eating what I needed for protein and calories in order to grow. And, you know, I just struggled putting weight on, you know, and if I would put a few pounds on, it seemed like if I fell off my routine or fell off of eating, just for a week or two, it would just all of a sudden it would come right off again. So because of this, I was always living in this surplus, and it wasn't until, I did the whole transformation thing. So those that, are listening and don't know this, part of, the big social media following that, that I attribute, is to my YouTube channel. And I started a YouTube channel, a couple of years ago when I got out of shape. I fell out of shape. For 2 years, I ate really bad and had a job change where I was sedentary. I sat at a desk for like 10, 12 hours a day, all day long. And for the first time, I felt fat. Like, I've never felt fat. I've always been, skinny or felt, you know, in shape, fit. I had some decent amount of muscle. I've never looked at myself as a really big buff guy. And I've never thought of myself as somebody who's ever been fat. And for the first time, I felt fat. I was 19% body fat. And, you know, somebody's listening like, oh, fuck you, Adam, you know, like, because they're nowhere near that. They're way above.
Well, yeah, but you were in the fitness industry for a long time. Yes. So 19% is high if you're in the fitness industry.
Exactly. As a male, for a male who's been a personal, who was a personal trainer actively during that time, right? So that was a big deal for me. And I thought, you know, my whole career, people always used to tell me like, oh, you don't know what it's like, you know, you don't know what it's like to be overweight and try and lose weight. And, you know, cause I was always talking about how I was a skinny guy trying to build. And for the first time in my life, I looked at myself and thought, man, I'm way out of shape. I'm fat. I need to get lean. I need to cut. And I've never actively designed a program for myself to lean down, always because I was so afraid I was going to lose this muscle. And it was amazing because when I decided to switch gears and do this, I went from 19% down to 7% body fat when I did the final dunk or body fat test. And it was crazy how many people I'd gotten the most big, you look huge, man, you look huge, you look buff compliments that I ever had in my life going through this whole cutting process.
So you kind of helped you get over that whole, it did. I'm not big.
And it made me go like, whoa, this is crazy. You know, this is the most compliments I've ever gotten on my physique and size related too. Not just like, oh, you look really good or you look really fit or you look ripped. It was like, man, you look big. You look yoked. What are you doing? Like, everybody wanted to know what I was doing and what was I doing to get so big? And I'm like, I'm not. I'm losing weight every day. Mm-hmm. I'm leaning out. And so one of the best advices I could ever give somebody that has this similar complex is, you would be surprised. Nothing will make you look bigger and more buff than dropping 10 pounds of fat wherever you're at. I mean, obviously, if you're 3% body fat already, that's not the case. But anybody who is above single digits body fat, even if you consider yourself a lean person, like I was always carried my body fat percentage somewhere between 10 and 13% as a personal trainer. And yet still, I would never had a desire to try and go lower because I was always trying to build. I always need to be bigger. But yet I wish I would have known this because I would have done, like we talked about before, these mini cuts and mini bulks all the way through my program versus just always being on this bulk.
Well, see, people, when they think of body dysmorphia, they instantly think of like women or girls, right, that suffer from this. But this happens to men also, and it's just not we just don't talk about it as much. But, you know, you look at, you know, the magazines, you look at, you know, the action heroes. You know, I had a role model. I have a fantastic family. My father's a very physical person. He was an athlete, you know, when he was a younger, very strong guy. And I just wasn't like that. And so I felt incredibly insecure as a result. And I was always much more of an intellectual. And I didn't never really truly embraced it until much later. I wanted to be more of the athlete. And so I know what it's like, you know, and I get clients who will come train with me and they've got these body image issues and I can completely relate to them. And they look at me and they think, oh, you don't understand what I'm going through because I always feel fat or I always feel a certain way. And, you know, what I tell them is, you know, and this is so cliche, but you have to, before you can solve that, you really do have to accept yourself for really who you are. And when that happens, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. And I'll tell I started to, for myself, when it really started to, I guess that transformation started to happen for me was when I went back into competing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Mm-hmm. And up until then, I had lifted lots of weights. And And in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's all technical. You got to be you have to have lots of technique and stamina. And what I did is I took one obsession, which was to get big all the time, and I just moved my obsession from there to getting good at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And although it wasn't a cure because I still had an obsession, it was it did allow me to break free from that, you know, that whole, you know, I need to get so big stage, because then now I'm competing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and it's all about, you know, being technical and being.
I guess that's real similar to what I was saying with the bodybuilding.
Yeah, it helped me break.
I guess I did go from one extreme to another extreme, but doing so.
You broke that chain.
Yeah, it caused me to look at it completely different.
It did. And then finally, I'm 35 now. Maybe about 5 years ago, you know, I had this kind of this epiphany, and about 5 years ago, I started getting into things like meditation. I got into, you know, looking inside, and it had nothing to do with body image issue. It was a stage in my life. I had met some good friends who were, you know, really teaching me about these types of things. And, so I started doing that. I would look internally and I'd start meditating. And, I realized my son is a spitting image of me. As I was as a child. He's the same exact thing. You know, he's thin. He's probably going to have a tough time gaining lots of muscle. Really smart kid. And I have nothing but unconditional love for him. And I'm proud and pride that he's my boy. And this epiphany kind of hit me when I looked at him and I thought to myself, holy cow, that's me. You know? And so then I reversed that on myself, and I realized that I need to be able to feel that way about myself as well. Mm-hmm. And that's when I finally kind of broke free of that. And that's when I was able to really develop the fitness philosophy that I have now, which is really based around, and I still have that performance background because I still have a passion for it, but it's now a wellness and health. It's kind of melded with wellness and health. And that only happened after I was able to fully accept myself. So I don't know. We're both looking at Justin because this guy puts on muscle like nobody's business. But
it hasn't always.
Tell us if you cried yourself to sleep.
No, this is such a somber episode.
This is horrible.
Yeah. No. I'm back. I want to go back to elementary school and junior high. Let's say I was actually a really skinny kid too, if you believe it or not, and. I played a lot of sports. I was just immediately into sports, so that's where all my energy was spent. But I actually was very self-conscious because I had these. I was really bony, and so what I mean by bony is on my shoulders, I have like on the acromion process where my collarbone sort of connects there with the shoulder. It's really pointy. And so when I'm really skinny, and this is the thing, this is why I don't like being skinny, okay? Because when I get skinny, it's very pronounced, okay? My brother, you know, and I both share this issue, and so we would kind of like console each other with this. Like, not only we had that going on for us, but we were also like stark white, you know? So I was never like, you know, I'm like that self-conscious guy that's like, you know, I can't get a tan unless I work at it for like the entire summer. And then at the end, I might start getting something, but I'm freckly and, you know, all these kinds of things. But, you know, at a certain point, I think it was high school, I didn't care anymore. And I started fueling all that energy, like, because I would take my shirt off and people would notice the bone and they'd say stuff. Otherwise, I would have forgot about it, but people would have kept saying things about it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, hey, what's wrong with your shoulder?
Kids are looking for anything that's are different,
mean,
right?
Dude. Kids
they,
are mean when
they just
want
to find no something filter. Messed up
no
about
filter.
You. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was one of them that kept, you know, being brought to my attention. And I at one point, actually, and you guys, like, I talked to my parents about it. I was like, you know, I wanted to cut them off. I was like, is there a way I could cut these off?
You wanted to resect your AC joint. That's like that's a surgery. I actually had that on my left shoulder because I heard it. They had to resect it.
Oh, really?
Bit. Yeah.
Oh. I didn't even know if
it
was.
But you wanted to do it cosmetically.
Yeah, it was cosmetically. But that's how I thought because like people kept bringing it up. And so I just, well, you know what? I'm just going to get bigger and I'm going to start lifting weights. And so I started fueling all my energy into that. And it really didn't take me as long. It took me maybe one semester and I started gaining, putting some weight on and putting some muscle on. About senior year, I was pretty muscular And then from then on, it was just like, whatever. Yeah, they're still there, but you know, I put on enough muscle to where I didn't care anymore. And then that mentality kind of drove me forward, where it was like, you know what? I am who I am, and this is what I have, and I'm so confident in what I'm bringing in from all these different things. Like, athletically, you know, I put all my emphasis there. Academically, I put my emphasis there. You know, that same mentality carries me to this day, where, you know, if you put me in a room with anybody, I feel like, you know, I'm going to want to, you know, I'm going to do okay, you know, for myself. And I just want to carry myself that way.
Well, I think ironically, if you don't, you know, if you have this, and I think a lot of us do have kind of some kind of body image issue, whether it be your, you know, you have your ears stick out a little bit, or, you know,
there's going to be something.
Something.
Yeah.
But, you know, ironically speaking, if you don't address that, then your progress in the gym, your progress with nutrition, it's never going to be the best it can be, because you're always going for a goal that you can't get to. You know, you're never going to be big enough if you want to build muscle, or you're never going to be lean enough, or you're never, you know, I can't tell you how many times I had clients, female clients, that would comment about, you know, when they were in their 20s and be like, oh my God, I thought I was so fat when I was in my 20s, but now I look at those pictures and I looked amazing. I can't believe I thought that. So much of it is in your own perception, you know, and the things that you think stand out that are these horrible things, even if people point them out, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's not that big of a deal. And confidence, Jesus, confidence makes up so much.
It trumps
much.
Everything.
Oh, you know what? I have this, we have this buddy in common. I'm not going to say his name because he might get a little offended, but he's not the best looking dude. He's not tall. He's not ripped. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He's the most confident guy you've ever met. You go into a bar with this guy, within 5 minutes, every chick in that bar wants to go out with this guy.
I already know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's all about that confidence.
Mad game.
And you have to really just kind of accept yourself for who you are and what you are. And what'll end up happening when you do that is you'll automatically find yourself taking care of yourself in a better way. You'll find yourself exercising more efficiently. My workouts now are so much more effective because I've addressed that body image issue. And you would think before, because my body image issue would drive me more, but what it did is it made me do things that were unhealthy. My diet would be crazy. I'd bulk to ridiculous weights, and you know, I'd lift stupid. And now it's so much more effective because I'm much more confident with who I am. And it's, so this is something, I mean, as trainers, we encounter this all the time.
I think most are. Did you, I was like Justin too. I had specific things in my body that drove me crazy, or I felt like I was too. Were you like that? Did you have?
My legs were super, super skinny, which is funny considering now that's probably one of my most responsive body parts.
Mm-hmm.
I still have areas of my body that I like, you know, that I don't think are perfect or whatever, but it's a different relationship with them now. Whereas before it was like, you know, these glaring, you know, horrible things that are on my body. Whereas now it's like, well, it's just, you know, how I look. It's not that big of a deal. So I think if you can address, and this is a very somber kind of, serious episode, but I wanted to do this episode because in our industry, with the amount of trainers that I know that have these kind of body image issues, the people that I see on Instagram posting pictures of themselves constantly, because they need that to feel good about themselves, or even the horrible things people will do to themselves, from the cosmetic surgeries to the drugs that they'll take, or the fat burning pills that they'll take to look a certain way. We need to address that in our industry, because I think it's going to destroy the fitness industry, and it's already taken it so far away from health. It's time we bring it back, I think, a little bit. Have you guys ever trained? I'm sure you guys have trained clients who've had to deal with major obesity issues.
Yeah, no.
And those big, body image issues.
Tons. One thing, though, I want to say on the flip to that, though, is this. There's also the other extreme. I feel that people use that as the, I don't want to become this narcissistic person.
Put people down who are.
Yes.
Yeah. That's also getting in really good shape.
Exactly.
See, but that's a false front.
It is, but it's, and let me tell you, it's very common. It's just as common. So you've got these two extremes. You've got
the ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. You've got the insecure guys like us who, you know, had issues. Like I had the rib cage, the bone sticking out. Like it was weird. I looked like I had a shifted rib cage. Like I was so skinny, you could see my ribs and one stuck out, you know. abnormally tiny small calves and this huge cock, and like this just imagine how that looked like, you know, this skinny kid taking a shower with these small calves.
That's why you cut it in half.
Yeah, abnormally huge.
It's only 12 inches now.
They're calling me tripod. I don't know.
Right, so
it's only 2 inches.
But you have these two extremes, right? You've got these fitness professionals like ourselves that's how we fell into this profession. Is we had these body images that, you know, we worked so hard. I fought so hard to become this bigger guy and get fit because I had that, and it's what propelled me here. Which, you know, I wouldn't change that for anything, because I felt like that is what kind of was the early motivation. I think the maturity and getting older and stuff realizing that, like we talked, like Sal talked about, very similar. I had the same type of awakening where you start to accept who you are. You have a different look. Yes, I still look at parts of my body as unsymmetrical or I need to work on it, but it's not enough to where I feel insecure. I was so insecure I wouldn't wear shorts. You know, I wouldn't wear shorts because I don't wear pants. It'd be like 110 degrees outside and wear jeans and a tank top. You know, like just you won't catch me. I'll wear shorts now in the wintertime if it's warm enough, you know, to go outside or work out. Like, totally different mentality. That's one side. And then you have this other side, you know, when you're trying to motivate a client or talk to somebody about, you know, getting in shape and fit, and, you know, and they're like, oh, well, you know, I just want to be healthy. I don't want to be, you know, like one of those narcissistic trainers where all you do is take pictures of themselves and all they care about is their body, this and that. And I feel like they use that as an excuse to not be disciplined and eat clean and make decisions, healthy decisions and stuff. So,
well, you know, when you see someone that
just as bad. Okay.
It is. You know how it is. You get jealous. You see the person that, you know, you want to be like, and so to make yourself feel better, you call them names and you say things about them.
You watch My 600-Pound Life on TV and anyway, that show's on like in my house, and like the Hoarders, I can't stand those shows. It gets at the psychology of everything going on and how, you know, detrimental it is. Like it's like a cancerous thing.
You don't like watching it? Who watches it in your house?
My wife. She loves those shows.
I can't watch 16 and Pregnant, and I watch Hoarders and those things. For some reason, I do that whenever I'm sick and I'm home and I'm stuck and I can't get out of there and I feel down and depressed.
It makes you feel better about yourself?
I think it does. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Katrina always calls me there like midday to check up on me, and she's like, what are you doing? She's like, I know what you're doing right now. You're watching 16 and Pregnant, aren't you? I'm like, shh, don't tell anybody that, babe. You know, people are going to think different of me.
That's 4,000 listeners. Yeah,
that's that's such a hard thing though. Like I always feel for the doctor in that situation. That's where I'm coming from. Like he's trying to make all these breakthroughs and really, really get into the psyche of it. And like
the person who's 600 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That was long gone.
Yeah. I'm saying
350 pounds ago.
Like it's so
beyond
hopeless. Yeah. Like at that point. And like, it isn't like there's things that, you know, some people have some breakthroughs, but like, you have to think about the amount of time it takes to get that big.
Well, I think at the end of the day, really, if you're dealing with something like this, or you're not even aware that you're dealing with something like this, the ability to be objective, to look inside, to be honest with yourself. God, that's fucking hard. To truly be honest with yourself, to actually sit down and be like, wow, I have an issue with this, is one of the hardest things to do. But if you can do that, if you can really be honest with these issues, you will go so much further in life. And I don't care what it is. You know, I'll tell you what, you can apply this to business. You know, I have friends that will try and start businesses and they'll fail. And it's everybody else's fucking fault. It's never their fault. It's always
victim role. I'm the victim.
It's
always
the economy or, you know, the market or
pussy.
This and that.
That's what you are.
Yeah. You know what? If you take ownership and you say, okay, what can I do? Maybe it isn't your fault, but at the end of the day, even if you believe it is your fault, you're going to constantly try to improve and succeed, and you're going to constantly revisit those things and be objective about what you're actually doing.
Well, that's a great point, is because I mean it really revolves around your personal empowering. Like you empower yourself to make changes, and I can't get one of the most frustrating things that I've dealt with some people that have that victim mentality. It's just like they never have a breakthrough because it's always reliant on somebody else to infuse that for them.
Right.
And so, you know, for me, you know, if they can't reach that place, there has to be a different approach, you know, necessary for that. Some kind of psychological breakthrough. Like we really need to address that. Like why is it that you can't, you can't look for that within yourself. Like, what's holding you back from accepting the fact that you have control because it's your body?
Well, it's windows and mirrors. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Can't is such a weak-ass word.
Have you guys ever heard of that? Windows and mirrors.
No.
So this is from a book I read, From Good to Great, I think it was the name of the book. Fantastic book. But basically, a good leader, or let's just talk about just a regular person, right? When something goes wrong, the average person looks out the window and looks out to see who they can blame. And when something goes right, they look in the mirror, like, "Oh, I did everything right." A good leader does the opposite. When something goes wrong, they look in the mirror, and when things go right, they look out the window and look at all the people around them that helped them to do that right thing. And that's the right attitude to take in life.
Yeah.
And to take ownership and to empower yourself. And again, this is bringing it right back to what we're talking about with these body image issues, is you have to be honest with yourself. Why am I taking things to such an extreme? Or why is this such an unhealthy
habit? Why am I letting this person affect me? You know, all these things.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And once you can address that, I promise you, the side effect of that is you'll probably get to your goals better and healthier.
Oh yeah.
So you know, and that's the end of the day. I mean, and I tell you what, we welcome you. If you want to be honest about this, go on our Instagram page, tell us your stories. There's a lot of people who are afraid to talk about these things.
Yeah.
But they're gonna read your comments, and it's gonna help them out. It's gonna help strengthen them.
They'll feel strengthened by it.
Absolutely.
I think that's the thing. We're a community, and we want to build a community. And we're here to give you not only just advice, but we want to be there to listen as well. So,
and we joke around a lot, but at the end of the day, man, I tell you what, if you're trying to get better yourself, I don't care what your problem is.
Yeah.
You're going to get all the respect in the world from the three of us.
Number one quality found in a human being is self-awareness to me. There's nothing more attractive, male, female, doesn't matter, than somebody who has genuinely embraces and embodies self-awareness. And can, like you said, look at yourself. Anything goes wrong. Anything and everything. That's how I feel. Like, it doesn't matter how much a situation looks like it's somebody's fault, or everything, the world could just not be lining up for me. What does it matter? It's what am I doing, or what can I do differently? Mm-hmm. Always, you know, something too that, you know, we talk about those extremes for people. Something that may help those that struggle with getting started, or the body issues, or just staying consistent, or whatever it might be. Something that I always challenge myself, and this is me, it's me, how I compete against myself to better me, is whatever it is I'm setting off on, whether you're working on something internally, spiritually, like Sal was talking about, or if it's something aesthetic and cosmetic for yourself, or if it's just energy, strength, whatever it may be, and you've set out a plan for yourself. So the first thing is to set up a plan. You got to have a plan for something. If you don't have a plan for anything and you're just kind of going at it, and you're wondering why you're continuing to fail, that's probably the first step. And if you need help with that, that's where you hire a professional. But what I would do is I would set like this goal for myself that, okay, and it could be like you said, Sal, like I'm working on something internally. I could also be working on myself cosmetically, and I'm going, okay, this is what I need to accomplish daily in order to achieve this. And I start trying to string as many days as I can in a row. And let's say I get 9 days of eating right on my diet, my workouts, getting my reading in, doing all these things to help grow as an individual and better myself. And then boom, I hit a hard day, or something happened, hit a brick wall. Instead of crying over spilled milk and beating myself up over it, or blaming the world on why it didn't go my way, you know, you pick your ass right back up. And now my goal is to get 8 days in a row, because I've only gotten 7 now. Now I'm going to get 8. And I bust my ass till I get 8. And then the same thing happens, let's say, 15 days down the road. And now I've made 15 days. And then something else happens. You know, I think that's where a lot of people fall off, is they set it towards whatever they're trying to accomplish. And then as soon as they hit that, all of a sudden the blaming happens and the feeling sorry for yourself. And it's like, no, I mean, shit happens. It happens for all of us. All of us have imperfect days.
We're all human.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when it does, you don't dwell on it. You pick yourself back up and you get back on, and you challenge yourself to beat that, to beat what your best record was last time, and you continue to improve.
You have that attitude. We got your back all day long.
Absolutely.
Here, we love you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.